This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
It's the greatest night in video game podcasting, the Get Played 2023 Games of This Year Award, the GOATSEES. And all our stars in gaming are out on the red carpet.
Wow.
That's right. All the stars are here tonight. All the biggest gaming stars.
Coming out of his limo is from the 2023 August 18th released. It's Leatherface. Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. You know, one of the biggest hits, one of the biggest titles of the year. Everybody's talking about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game. And there's Leatherface. He's waving. He's having a good time. He's got a leather face.
Hey, well, Leatherface might want to look out because in Hot Pursuit is America's favorite survival horror himbo, Leon Kennedy from Resident Evil 4 Remake. And look at that. He's with his date, Ashley Biden. Can't get enough president's daughters. Look out, Leatherface.
Wow, it's a big night here in video games. Of course, there's Pac-Man, there's Alan Wake walking hand in hand. Maybe we're going to hear a romance announcement from the two of them, Pac-Man and Alan Wake. It's been hinted at, it's been questioned, but is Alan Wake fucking Pac-Man? Is that what's happening here? Is he fucking Pac-Man?
We know that Josh Gad already fucked Q-Bert, so there is a precedent for this sort of relationship.
That's right.
Tough news for Ms. Pac-Man, though.
Oh, gosh, I cannot believe what I'm seeing right now. Gollum has just fallen down the stairs. Gollum has taken a tumble down some stairs.
Oh, boy.
From the video game Gollum.
Tough year for Gollum,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
He also just looks like shit.
Yeah, he looks
fucking
nasty.
Horrible.
And Gollum, if you can hear me, get it to fucking together, dude. Everybody else here is hot as shit.
Get it together.
You look dead, dude.
You look like dead, and you look like you're from two console generations ago.
Yeah.
Oh no. Kirby just sucked up Gollum.
Oh,
and
God.
And now Kirby looks like shit.
Oh, Kirby looks like shit.
Kirby's one of the most beloved characters. Why did he do that?
Gray Kirby. God.
Oh no. Poor Kirby. Oof. Rough. Oh, this is a cute. Look at this little guy. Even though it was closed this year, right there on the red carpet is the Nintendo eShop for the 3DS and Wii U.
Aww.
What a cute little shopping bag, waving, saying hi. We miss you. eShop for the Nintendo 3DS and the Wii U.
Oh, wait, it looks like Alan Wake has abandoned Pac-Man and is going over and trying to romance the eShop.
Oh my God, this is really awkward. Super awkward.
Yeah.
Oof.
Apparently has some romantic affections for the sentient manifestation of an online shopping platform. Oh, look at him. Here we go. Here's a big breakout star holding up the line because he's holding up a sign. From Tears of the Kingdom, it's President Hudson Simp Addison. There is Addison supporting the president as he always does. Wow.
Hey, good job,
Addison. We love Addison. And finally, on the red carpet, the biggest star of all, you, the player. We wrap up 2023 with our annual Games of This Year Awards this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played! I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with our fellow host, Nick Weiger.
That's me, Nick Weiger, and I'm here with our third host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone. It's gaming's big night.
That's right.
Can we say that?
It's gaming's big night. We can say that.
It's gaming's big night, the biggest night of the year, when all the stars come out, all the hosts are here, and the most incredible outfits are walking down that red pixelated carpet. It's the game of the year. What do we call this?
It's the 2023 Get Played Games of This Year Awards, a.k.a. the Goatsies.
It's the Goatsies. Ba do 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 da 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 da.
So, like, we're sending that to a composer, and like a composer is going to compose that. So, like, this won't be in the show.
No, what you hear will be like that composer is gonna do. We've actually got it like a Count Basie AI that's going to do a like a big band scoring of that.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll hear.
And it's going to be good. And it's definitely, that wasn't the final version.
That wasn't the final, what you heard was the final version.
Yes.
But what we did in studio live, that was just us like, you know, riffing it out.
I'm really impressed with the sort of budget of this year's production and just the overall like visual architecture. And I know that you guys are at home and you're listening to this as a podcast, but this is a real event. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine that Matt Apodaca is in a really fresh looking tuxedo. Tuxedo jacket with a skirt bottom, like a half dress, half tuxedo. And Nick is in tighty whities with 100 bow ties around his neck. It is the night to remember. And there are lights. I mean, over there there's Kevin Costner. He's on the carpet. Hi, Kevin. Nice to see you. And we also have, there's Neil Druckmann.
Costner thought he was at the Emmys, actually. That's the issue. He thought he was there to get, like, you know, an award for Yellowstone. He showed up to the wrong ceremony.
He's pissed off.
He's
fucking
furious.
Throwing glasses.
I overheard him saying, "I could kick all of your asses," to like everybody. He's kind of is he a big guy?
He said that to Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
I was like, man, take it easy.
And Duke got shy.
that was the kind of thing. He was like, oh, he's all bark, no bite. You know, he's all bluster.
This dude is all bite. He's all bite. Kevin Costner is all bite.
100% all bite.
100%.
He's 6'1".
It's been... What?
He's
6'1"?
He's a big guy.
He's big enough to be a pitcher in the major leagues, which is why he makes so many movies about baseball.
6'1" is really tall for an actor.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
Like, isn't like De Niro like 5'1"? Like, he's a foot taller than De Niro, I think.
There are a lot of short kings who have succeeded in the film world.
De Niro's 5'10", but he looks small.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, what? Wait,
he's
with, 5'10". No, the little guy is
Pacino.
Oh, fuck, what's his name? No, it's not.
Joe Pesci?
No, it's not Pacino. It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
Oh, yeah.
That was the longest setup.
No, that was great.
Guys, I'm really happy to be here. I know I've missed a couple episodes. But we're recording these things out of order, so right now I feel great. I'm, you know, in the middle of my treatment, and I feel fucking great. It's been a great December. I'm really, this is wonderful. I love these award events. It's a big night for everyone. What do you call gaming's Hollywood?
Like Hollyweird.
Hollyweird's a good pitch.
Voxelwood?
Yeah, because there isn't like
Nintendo Land.
It's not geographically clustered in the way that like Hollywood or the Silicon Valley is. Like studios are kind of worldwide, you know.
It's Meta's gaming. The biggest night of the metaverse. I don't know.
Pixelville, something like there's
Pixelville.
Yeah.
It's Pixelville's biggest night. That sounds good.
That does sound good.
All right, we'll roll with that. Hey, can we, speaking of pixels and speaking of last time you were here, Heather,
So here's the thing.
I was very anxious about our Super Mario Brothers 3 episode. I think we overall did a pretty good job.
But it's
a daunting task to try to be comprehensive about a game of that import. There were a couple things I was looking back. I was like, I think there were a couple things that we just didn't mention that I just wanted to get out there just as, like, I think they're just, like, important notes. The first is Kuribo's shoe, a.k.a. Goomba's shoe, which we didn't talk about at all on that episode, but it's one of the best video game levels of all time. It's the one where there's a Goomba in a shoe, and you can, if you hit him from below, you can pop him out of the shoe, and then Mario himself can, or Luigi can hop into the shoe and use the shoe as this one level only power up. And it's just like the central mechanic, and it's never returned to. You don't see the shoe again anywhere else in Super Mario Brothers 3, but it's just such an awesome, awesome design. And also for a level that I think you can skip as well. So just like every aspect of it, they were like, let's fully commit, let's make an all new mechanic that's for one set of one level, and then it's completely disposable. The other thing
that for the listener, it's been weeks. It's as if Nick. He's like, I gotta talk about the shoe. I gotta talk about the shoe. So I'm glad you brought it up because I'm frustrated that you didn't talk about the shoe. Although you did talk about the shoe on a different episode,
which is why I felt like it was accounted for. But I was like, I feel like we should have highlighted it a little bit in the context talked about the game itself. The other thing is, I don't think we talked about this. That the whole game is presented as a stage play, which is a big part of what's fun about it, is that you got the curtains rising, you kind of go off stage at the end of each level, and that also just like a lot of like the architecture appears to be stuff that's like, you know, bolted to the back wall or that are flats. You know, it's the whole game itself is like a work of fiction within a work of fiction. And it's not directly referenced. It's just like sort of like presented for you.
If I recall, that was like lightly mentioned, but not like we didn't really expand on that.
Yeah.
Why is Mario so afraid of showing us his true self? Because like Super Mario USA is a dream. Super Mario 3 is a play. It's not actually happening.
Right.
Super Mario, like Paper Mario, constantly breaks the fourth wall. Like they know they're in a video game. So what is the core actual Mario? Is it Mario World? Is that like the core world? Is that actually happening?
I think maybe that's like the closest that we've seen to his reality, like a Super Mario World or a Super Mario Brothers 1.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, a lot of it, I mean, I guess Mario RPG breaks the fourth wall a lot too.
I think I brought this up on the show too, speaking of Mario not showing his true self, which is the real Mario? Is Mario, when he's little, the
Chris
real Mario?
Chris Pratt's
the real Mario. Yeah. We know that.
He's the real Mario.
But because, you know, if you're base Mario without a mushroom power up and you get hit by a Goomba, you die.
Yeah.
But if you get the mushroom, you become bigger.
Yeah, if you get embiggened.
And then you go back down to small.
Right.
So it's small Mario, Mario.
But small Mario is disproportionate to the other humanoid creatures within the Mario universe. I think that big Mario is default Mario, and my evidence for that is 3D Mario. The way he's presented is more of a big Mario, and that he's kind of like in a, you know, like a reduced state when he's a small guy.
I think that, okay, that's fair.
But the what's confusing about that, though, is that that's how he starts off when you're playing any of the 2D Marios. He starts off little. So, yeah, it's confusing.
I would like them to do a whole game where he's little.
That'd be fun. A baby Mario game?
Yeah.
My favorite part of award shows is when the hosts just pontificate about
just
whether or not one of the characters is real. Yeah. Like, that's my favorite.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I've written for a number of award shows, and this was actually what I prepped as the monologue for the MTV Movie Awards a couple years ago. Just Aubrey Plaza was going to go up and just talk about Super Mario Brothers 3 for 10 minutes, but it got vetoed.
This is our version of in a real award show when some liberal actor gets on their soapbox.
Yes, exactly.
And doesn't just stick to the movies.
Yes.
That's what we were doing right
now.
Oh,
pollution is a serious issue.
Shut up, Leo. God, I'm so sick of hearing about pollution from actors.
Me too.
I'm pissed.
Me too. It's too fucking much. Just admit that the world's going to end.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. We're done. We're past the point of no return. Shut up. Like, let me throw a Pepsi can directly into a river. That's what I want to do. That's my ideal life, is to drink Pepsis and throw the cans into the river.
Yeah.
I'd go Coke probably in that case, but
yeah.
Pepsi's fun too.
Yeah, Pepsi's, I mean, if it's the option, I'll drink it, but I'd rather it be Coke.
Does burning a Pepsi can make it more toxic? Because if so, I'm going to throw it through a fire into the river. We're here at gaming's biggest night.
That's right.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Hey, buddy, I want to tell you about a new podcast you need to listen to. Crunchyroll presents The Anime Effect, explores anime and the way it shows up throughout our world. Hosts Nicholas Friedman, LaAlec Murray, and Leah President discuss the latest in news, updates, and deep dives on the shows and pop culture you love. From breaking down the anime awards to analyzing Godzilla Minus One to discussions with musicians like Yeji. Stay up to date on the latest in anime with Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. Hey, for me, I'm interested in hearing them talk about One Piece, because I've been getting into One Piece myself. And they're also talking about The Boy and the Heron and Studio Ghibli movies, things that I love. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth they get into. They do some gaming content. Kaiju Number 8, that's a manga a lot of people like, that is turning into an anime. We'll see how that adaptation is. So listen now. Wherever you get your podcasts, Crunchyroll presents The Anime Effect. So we're not here to do any sort of activism. We've just fully embraced nihilism. And as we all, you know, hurtle towards oblivion, let's distract ourselves with some entertainment. Let's talk about some video games we've been playing. It's time for What Are You Playing?
What are you playing? Hey, it's gaming's biggest night, and I'm here because I want to tell you guys, I'm really proud of you.
Wow, Resident Evil merchant, that's high praise coming from you.
Oh, it is. I don't dole out compliments willy-nilly.
You really don't.
I really don't. You know, I'm more of a merchant. Like, I deal in compliments, but you got to pay me for them. And I just want to say it's been a tough year at Get Blade, and I am so proud of you guys.
Wow. We're proud of
you. I want my job back.
What? Okay, here it is. There it is.
What?
I knew it was all lip service. You know, it's always something with the merchant. And it's actually not the time to be doing this right now. We're in the middle of a very important broadcast. So. Yeah.
I stole my tuxedo from Shaquille O'Neal, and I'm here.
You're swimming in it. You look ridiculous.
Yeah, you look ridiculous. No, you look
actually
great,
I look
Padaka.
Sharp.
You look
that looks
sharp.
Great.
You look great. I want my job back. And I don't know. I figured today, you know, all the merriment of the holidays is behind us. There's peace in the Middle East, and I just want my job back.
Wait, what are you talking about? When do you think this is coming out?
Do you read the news? Do you pay attention to what's going on? I guess you live in a different reality, so maybe things are happening different in the Resident Evil
universe. I guess everything else seems trivial when La Plaga is running rampant in the world.
I know that this podcast is recorded out of sequence.
Oh, yeah, so you're extrapolating into the future. You're assuming everything is going to be all wrapped up in a couple of weeks.
Are behind us, because this is certainly coming out before
Halloween
in the new
2028.
Year. Oh, so you think this is, we're holding on to this for a long time.
I haven't had a job in a long, I'm assuming this is years in the future.
Look, I'm just gonna make an offer here. Resident Evil Merchant, I think you've been a huge part of the show
over
the years. Here's what I'm offering.
What are you offering?
I think in the new year, the door's open if you want to make a comeback. So if you want your job back, you know, it's that possibility is going to exist for you in 2024.
If the door is open, so is my coat. What are you playing?
Wow.
He's back.
Had nothing on under that coat.
Yeah, really, that's kind of...
I found
really
a needle on the beach, and I injected myself with it without looking what was inside. I feel great.
You look great. Thank you. I don't necessarily condone that, but it could pay off sometime.
I mean, if you look closely, you're bleeding from your eyeballs.
Yeah.
But other than that,
not great.
That's typical.
Got
Nick.
It. Yes.
Nick Weiger. What are you playing?
I'll be brief. I'm back and playing Baldur's Gate 3, but here's what I did. I rolled a new character because enough time had passed since I had my paladin stranded in Act 1, and I was like, you know what? I've forgotten a lot of the decisions I've made, and though I can kind of piece together, you know, what I've done through these, you know, whatever, 15, 20 hours of play time, I just would rather relive it, re-experience it. So I went through and I rolled a bard, and I'm playing a bard now. I'm back in Act 1, and the game's, it's just fucking terrific, and it's an absolute delight. So that's my very, very brief what are you playing. After the holidays, in the new year, we'll hopefully have some more extensive experience with Baldur's Gate 3, and I'll talk about that playthrough, because I want to finish this bad boy.
Nice.
Nick, I've been thinking about doing the exact same thing, but I've played for 106 hours. I don't think that I can.
Yeah, what are you in Act 3 or are you in Act 2
still? I'm at the end of Act 2. I'm getting my ass handed to me at the end of Act 2.
Yeah. I think power through to the end with that character, but I definitely have that feeling all the time playing RPGs, especially when you create a character. All the time, I'm like, I should just abandon this and do a whole new build.
Yeah, I think I gotta just get back into the rhythm of it. But I would like to pick that back up. So maybe I'll have an update about that as well.
Wow,
I just noticed your shoes, Nick. They look really comfortable.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, are we still doing a awards apparel, or are we back in reality?
We can do awards apparel for just a second here. So this is a Converse All Star. But it looks like it's one of the ones that has like a nice padded base. It looks good.
Okay, so we are in reality. In our reality.
Oh no! This is
So right, yes. I'm not
Where
wearing
the
a.
Fuck are we? What
I'm
is
not
happening?
Wearing... I'm just saying we've established that I'm wearing tidy whiteies and 100 bow ties.
We didn't talk about your shoes.
That's right. We didn't talk about my shoes, which are in both realities Converse All Stars, but they have a they're like platform shoes. They're super comfortable because the Converse All Star form factor, but then they've got like this tread on the bottom and a lot more padding than typical All Star. So I fucking love them for walking around.
I don't know if you needed the extra height, but they look pretty good. Some for the rest of us.
I'm truly hulking now.
Yeah,
with this extra inch and a half of height.
You got Costner level height over here. With this. The tallest guy we can think of, Costner. I'll say briefly too what I'm playing. I rolled credits on the first Alan Wake. It's been a couple weeks since I've talked about it, but I rolled credits on Alan Wake and I've come around. It's good. My experience playing that game, I was sort of not sure if I was enjoying it. By the time I got to the end of it, I can confidently say I did enjoy it quite a bit.
You've been wake-pilled.
I've been wake-pilled, as it were. It was weird. It was a weird experience, but I did enjoy it, and I liked having my flashlight and gun combo. I loved dropping flash grenades at big, scary ghost things, and I liked where the story ended up, and I will be continuing my Alan Wake journey into Alan Wake 2. But I might make a pit stop in Control. I might give Control a spin as well, but that's it for me.
Hey, blaze through Alan Wake in a fortnight. That's pretty good.
Pretty nice.
Heather, what are you playing?
Well, as I've mentioned previously, I'm swinging my baseball bat again at Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. And I've put in a ton of hours in it. But I guess the most remarkable thing is I finally set up the analog pocket dock for my wow. I've been waiting because I bought the dock and the DAC because they promised at Analog, they promised dock to DAC compatibility. And they still say it's coming in a future update. My ideal world was that I would be playing on the pocket and then I could snap it into the dock, turn on my CRT, my old Sony PVM, and play it on like a glowing television screen. I finally got so frustrated with my inability to do that that I set up the dock on my flat screen. This game does not look good very big. It is ugly when you even when you're using like the sort of Game Boy filters or whatever, it's ugly on a flat screen. And so I'm pretty disappointed because I have the GameCube with the Game Boy Advance adapter, and I can technically play it on the TV, but it's a frustrating experience to take out the save, take out the cartridge, put it into the thing.
Right.
I have some kind of special fucking disc for the GameCube that allows you to bypass the Game Boy player's default resolution and actually screen it at the right. So you have to go through a menu and you have to like toggle stuff and then you finally get to the game and then you're playing it and it looks beautiful on a CRT. I just want the simplicity of pocket, dock, television. I'm done playing on the television. Pick it up, take it out of the dock, go into another room.
Right.
It's not happening. And it looks like shit on a big screen. It looks ridiculous. You know what it looks like? It reminds me of when a child puts on adult's clothing. It's all wrong.
Yeah.
Like when they're flopping around in an adult suit and it's like, you don't belong in that suit. You look ridiculous. You're cute.
Stupid little kid.
But you look ridiculous. Dumbass little kid. That's what it feels like to me. So I've been playing Tactics Advance, but I'm frustrated with Analog's inability to update the dock to be compatible with the DAC, which is still a visible option on their website as a coming soon. It's 2023. Come on.
It's 2023.
It's the end of it.
Soon it'll be 2024.
But it is 2023.
Yeah, I mean, it shit just takes forever. I think I've said this on the show before, and maybe this was a Kickstarter at some point, but I feel like there's enough, you know, niche demand, enthusiast demand for someone to make like a new CRT. In the same way that they started just making new turntables, you know, whenever the turntable, the vinyl fad started up again, it feels like, okay, maybe the manufacturing costs are just too much. Maybe you just can't, you know, you can't get it to the right scale, but I don't know. So you don't have to fucking scour eBay for an old, like, you know, reference monitor that was used in a TV station 20 years ago, or like, you know, someone's likely just a new modern CRT with modern inputs. That's gamer friendly. Don't know. There are people who would want that shit.
There are. I'll buy it. There are plenty of people. If you go to Google and you just search CRT for sale, there's tons of CRTs for sale. You know, you can even get off of like Etsy a $1,300 Sony PVM. Like there's plenty of them. Even the base models are still available. It's like $60 with, you know, a little bit of burn-in, but you can play these old systems. It's shocking to me that like on Alibaba or something, that there isn't just like a CRT secondary market. You're totally right, Nick.
Oh, well.
I don't have anything to add other than yes. Do you have a dream CRT? Do you have a dream CRT? Is that something you ever think about, or is that...
Boy, I used to have a Sony Trinitron back in the day, and like basically, it was like a 27-inch, so it was like big, but not like too big. It was like just big enough, but like once you started CRTs, started to get like more like 30 inches plus. They were so fucking heavy, you just couldn't move them. This one was like just on the cusp of that. It was still pretty heavy and pretty front loaded, but it was manageable for moving from apartment to apartment. And yeah, games just look great on it. You know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 games. That era of gaming, I played most of my GameCube games on that TV. So yeah, I don't know. I think you want to have component ins, you want to have S-video ins. I don't know if there's any utility to having like an HDMI in on a CRT, which is a thing that never existed. I don't even know if it could output put a source that a CRT could interpret. I don't, I like I don't the technical side of that is above my pay grade, but like. Just like the analog pocket dock, like you were talking about, something that would accept all of the inputs from a modern piece of hardware like that, but that also had like the tube quality of like, you know, one of those old Sony Vegas or whatever.
I just shared a link. You know, I already have my dream CRT in that Sony PVM. And boy, oh boy, if you tuned into this episode excited about these game awards, we sure are in the trenches of some technical talk. But the Sony Trinitron 9-inch KV9P T50 is my second dream CRT. It is a tiny, 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 tiny little TV. It's only 9 inches. And it is so cute. It's white and has a little stand. And I love this CRT so much. That's my secondary dream CRT.
Yeah, it's a cute little guy.
It's a cute little guy.
That is a perfect way to describe it. It is actually a very cute little TV.
Yeah.
But it is the kind of thing, like, you think about playing like a 60-hour JRPG on a screen that size, you know. Not that I think that's like an awesome, like, super specific thing, but I feel like if we're talking dream CRT for me, I'd want one that's got a little bit more heft to it.
Well, we're different people, Nick.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, we were saying.
Yeah, Nick, your dreams aren't exactly like Heather's, okay? Heather's are different than yours.
There was some CRT that I was reading about the other day. Again, the stars are here. We're about to get to them. We're really excited. But there was a CRT that I was reading about the other day that was $40,000 upon release and was like 750 pounds. And like, that's a pretty good machine right there. That's a big
boy.
That's a nice CRT. Yeah. Oof, what a day. What the stars are out.
The stars are out.
And I think it's time. We should probably go to the stage. There's a few, you know, surprises right around the corner. And we will begin this year's Goatsies right after these messages. Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, we're back.
Was somebody going to do a commercial?
Wait, what?
Was that like an actual
I thought that was
break?
An actual toss. Was that to do a bit?
Who, with me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, television shows have commercials.
Got it. So that's probably where we'll just put in our podcast ads, yeah. But we'll also keep in this confused resumption here.
Yeah. I was just confused because we've never done that.
We don't throw to breaks on the show, so but that makes it made sense to do. All right, let's get into the Goatsies. Hey, I got one. First category. Biggest game we completely ignored.
Biggest game we completely ignored.
And the nominees are Dead Space Remake, Lies of P, Mortal Kombat 1, Octopath Traveler 2, and Pikmin 4. And the Goatsy goes to Starfield. That's right, Bethesda's Starfield. We've just not talked about for 1 second on this podcast.
Yeah, no.
Accepting the award on behalf of Starfield is Starfield Guy. Very thrilled on behalf of Starfield. As you know, I have been fighting for my planet Starfield against the evil Starfield Emperor. We must uphold the Starfield prophecy as the ancient aliens have foretold. I'm sure that's it's something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it
something
like that. Sounds right. That
anyway, sounds right. Everyone plays Starfield on Game Pass.
Wow,
that's a big win for Starfield.
Congrats to Starfield. That's huge.
Absolute games that we absolutely ignored. I feel like that might be a bit of a running theme of tonight's show because this has been an incredible year in games. One of the best ever, it could be argued. When you can't look at Game of the Year and not make an argument for 3 out of 5 of those titles, like that's a big year, you know? That's a big fucking year.
It's a big honking year, and I think there were in addition to the AAA excellence, there were some indie gems, which we'll get to. But go on, Heather.
Similarly to this first category, I'm here to present Best Game I Will Never Finish. Best wow. Game I Will Never Finish. And the nominees are, for Best Game I'll Never Finish, Tears of the Kingdom, Starfield, Baldur's Gate 3, Octopath Traveler 2, Street Fighter 6, Star Wars game from the spring, Super Mario Wonder, Armored Core. And the winner is Hogwarts Legacy.
This is Hogwarts Legacy's first win in this category.
Accepting the award for Hogwarts Legacy is a very ashamed Harry Potter. Hello. So I understand why there is a segment of the population who is never, ever going to start or finish Hogwarts Legacy. And I just want to say it's your fault that Voldemort won because you didn't defeat him in Hogwarts Legacy. I also want to give a shout out to every gender, every expression of sexuality. You're all valid. I know it's not enough because I was created by somebody who denies reality, science, and existence itself. But, you know, it's an accurate game. You can go to the bathroom in Hogwarts Legacy and it looks just like the movies. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Impassioned from Harry Potter.
Yeah. It's good that Harry Potter got out there and said all that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. It's a real shame. A real shame about that game. Because it looks fancy.
It looks fancy in a game truly a few years ago would have been very interested in playing.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Have no interest in it now.
I know some people who played it and with, you know, conflicted feelings, but as an experience, I think it's gives what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I am more likely to play and finish Starfield than I am to start Hogwarts Legacy.
Wow.
You know, if I'm already paying for PlayStation Plus and they drop it in one of the free month games, maybe I'll give it a spin. It's time for the next category, and the next category is games that aren't Baldur's Gate 3.
Wow.
And the nominees are Marvel's Spider-Man 2, Star Wars Jedi Survivor,
also known as Star Wars from the Spring,
The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, and the Resident Evil 4 remake. And the winner is Baldur's Gate 3. Wow. A big upset.
This is shocking.
This is a shocking upset because the category, as stated previously, was
wow.
These are games that are not Baldur's Gate 3, but in fact, the winner of this category is Baldur's Gate 3. And accepting the award on Baldur's Gate 3's behalf It's Joel Miller from the Last of Us series.
Oh, wow!
Hey, I think this is one of them video games that Ellie likes to play. Thanks so much for believing in me, and remember, if I were to lose you,
oh no, just
I'd probably lose myself. Anyway, I gotta go. I'm gonna go play a round of golf with the.
Oh Jesus!
Oh no!
With some of my buddies, with Tommy and the rest, and so I'll see y'all later, and y'all remember to endure and survive. All right, I gotta go.
Wow, Joel Miller, big year for him coming up, because they're gonna be filming the second season of The Last of Us for HBO, and they're also releasing The Last of Us Part Two remastered in 2024 as a $10 upgrade, and it's gonna have a new combat, like roguelike horde mode. And there's nothing that is more likely to get me back into The Last of Us ecosystem than endless enemies and combat.
Do you think Kevin Costner was like, it could have been Joel?
Probably.
I think if The Last of Us had come out in the 90s,
yeah,
there is a 100% chance it would have been Costner.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Why does
or
he,
like Mel Gibson.
Why does Joel have a baseball glove now?
I want to say...
motherfucker loves baseball.
Because Costner is here, I think they added another category, which is most surprising music in a Super NES game, and they gave it to Waterworld, and then gave him an award and asked him to leave.
Yeah.
Okay, here's your award. You can go now.
He was very happy to get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, well, that was truly perhaps the most baffling category so far tonight. Both in terms of the parameters, the winner, and who accepted the award. But you know what? That's what the Goatsies are all about.
The Goatsies are full of surprises. You'll always be surprised at the Goatsies.
You'll always be back on your heels. And hey, that might be the case with this next category. The next one is Thing Weiger Won't Shut Up About.
Thing Weiger Won't Shut Up About.
The nominees are, guys, you gotta play Dave the Diver. It's so good. Guys, Drill Suit Mario is so cool. Guys, it's serious. Metroid Prime Remastered holds up so well. Like, it feels like a modern AAA game. You really should be able to romance those French twins in Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. That's insane. That's not an option. And the Goatsy goes to beating Sekiro.
Wow.
That's right. I beat wow. Sekiro. And accepting the award for Weiger not shutting up about Weiger beating Sekiro is me. I beat Sekiro. Just wanted to remind everyone that I beat Sekiro.
Wow. A year late after he said he'd do it, he did do
but
it.
But I did it. And I'm not shutting up about it.
How is it possible that he's saying Sekiro the right way, but also it sounds like he's saying it the wrong way when he says Sekiro?
Yeah, it's just the Weiger experience, baby.
Exactly.
That's all it is. And I, you know what? I'm very proud of you, Nick.
Thanks, Matt.
I'm glad that you beat Sekiro. It did encourage me to purchase it when it was on sale, and I've yet to start it.
Great game.
I'd love to give it a swing sometime.
Similarly to Weiger's category, our next category is a game I finished and don't remember from 2023. The nominee and winner is Final Fantasy 16.
Wow.
Final Fantasy 16 accepting the award. Heather Ann Campbell. Hi. I finished Final Fantasy 16. I came really close to platinuming it, to be honest. I do not remember the name of almost any of the characters. I don't really remember who the bad guy was. I think it was Ultima or Ultimos or Ultros. I don't know. I know there was a dog. I know that I pre-ordered the dog as a stuffed animal before the game came out because I was so excited about the game. That dog has not yet arrived at my house, and when it does, I will be confused about its existence. I'll be like, what is this dog?
You've forgotten all about Torgel? The dog?
Torgel! Torgel is his name. Torgel. I don't remember the name of the locations. I don't, and I know that, you know, I've been in a treatment that is aggressive about changing your memory, giving you a little brain fog, but the truth is I don't remember. There was a dude who turned into Bahamut. Do you remember his name, either of you?
Matt's the one who finished the game. I bounced off of it.
Do you remember the name of the dude who turned into Bahamut?
We didn't come here to quiz me, okay? We came here to present the awards on like, gaming's biggest night.
Expect one of us to retain information from a game we spent dozens of hours in? Come on.
off the top of my head, we've got Squall, Quistis, we've got Cypher, we've got Ultimacia, we've got, like, I can name all those Final Fantasy VIII characters.
Oh, thinking of the main character? You're thinking of Clive Rosenfeld?
No, not Clive. I'm talking about the guy who turned into Bahamut. Major fucking character. Can't remember his name. I can remember Zidane, Vivi. I can remember, of course, Cloud and Barret and Tifa and Aerith and like all those characters. I can remember Cid Highwind. What was the name of the dude who turned into Bahamut? Don't know. A game I finished and don't remember. Thank you very much. I'm accepting this award.
Wow. Congratulations. Huge win for Heather and for Final Fantasy 16. The only thing I remember for Final Fantasy 16 is fuck.
Yeah. You're thinking of, perhaps you're thinking of Dion Lesage.
It's me, Dion Lesage.
You probably had to Google that and then also scroll a bunch.
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw me do this. Well, you guys, you know, it wouldn't be gaming's biggest night if we didn't take a second to stop down and just peel back the curtain a little bit. You know, these categories are obviously, they're all locked in and they're all things that we feel honored to be presenting tonight. But as the proceedings have gone on, I've noticed that some of mine are pretty similar to some of the other ones that have come up before, and I have had to come up with some new categories. So this next category...
It's okay. This is how a lot of award shows work.
Sometimes...
They're going through with the Grammys like, oh, fuck, they already handed out a best jazz fusion album.
Exactly.
That was my category. I got to come up with something else. I don't know. R&B.
They'll do best actor, and they'll be like, oh, shit, we didn't girls.
Yeah.
Let's put girls in it, too. Do best actress. Yeah.
Right.
So this next category is games Matt liked, but Nick and Heather did not.
Wow.
Wow.
And the winner is Final Fantasy 16.
This is the second win for Final Fantasy 16 tonight.
So far, the most awarded game of the ceremony.
Wow.
Perhaps cementing it as game of the year. We shall see. And accepting this award is me, Matt Apodaca, and I will gladly accept this award. This game that I remember almost nothing about, that I, while playing it for 50 hours, loved every second of. And
yeah,
came here on this show and said, guys, this is a game of the year contender. Don't remember a single thing about it.
All right, we're getting to the big ones here. We're getting our way towards the finish line here. Some of the major categories. This one is a staple of the GOATsies. It's time for Best Hog. The nominees for Best Hog in a video game are Penis 1 from Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. Penis B from Baldur's Gate 3. Boar from Fortnite. Penis 2 from Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. And finally, Hogwarts Legacy. And the GOATsy goes to Penis D from Baldur's Gate 3. Wow, a surprise win.
Wow.
Accepting the award on behalf of Penis D is Starfield Guy. It's me, Starfield Guy. My people have suffered under the Starfield Empire for too long. We must liberate my planet of Starfield so we can finally... get on the fabled Starfield arc or fucking whatever. It's that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
You get it. It's a treasure or prophecy, some shit like that. You get it. Anyway, thank you. Play Starfield on Game Pass. Wow, huge win. Huge win for Penis
huge,
D.
Huge wow. win. Our next category is a controversial one, but it must be covered on a goatsies as big as this one. And this is best Fortnite skin released in the year 2023.
Wow. This could be a lot of things.
Nominees include Michael Myers, Jack Skellington, Alan Wake, Invincible, Omni-Man. And the award for best skin released in 2023 in the game Fortnite is Eminem with spaghetti backpack.
Wow.
In the year...
Yeah, that's the thing about
that's,
it,
that's
isn't
huge.
It? In this year of 2023, we're still doing
children everywhere. Children everywhere have been clamoring for Eminem and the back black bling of mom's spaghetti. And Eminem beat out Jack Skellington, Alan Wake, Michael Myers, the Invincible crew. Adam Eve wasn't even nominated. And Eminem, unfortunately, could not make it to the show tonight. Accepting the award on his behalf is one of the other nominees, Jack Skellington.
There are few who deny, and what I do, I am the best. When I'm wearing an outfit from LeBron James. My gun is Naruto and my hat is me. But nothing compares to my backpack bling of mom's spaghetti. Jack Skellington, Christmas out.
Wow, that was...
beautiful.
Doing his catchphrase,
too.
Christmas
out. Yeah. Always love to hear that around the holidays.
Yeah. You guys, I'm really excited to present this next category. This category is names that are the same kind of.
Ooh.
Names that are the same kind of.
Names that are the same kind of. And instead of reading the list of nominees, I'm going to just jump straight to the winner. And it is a Ooh. Tie. Between the names Torgle, the dog from Final Fantasy 16, and Turgle, the frog guy from Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Torgle and Turgle.
Wow.
Turgle and Torgle.
This is a huge award for both of them. What a big win.
And accepting, they're actually both here. They're both here together.
Oh, so we're going to hear from both of them.
We're going to hear from both of them.
Oh, this is very exciting.
I'm going to go ahead and hand the microphone to Turgle.
Hey, thanks, everybody. It's me, Turgle. I'm just a weird little frog man, and this is my best friend, Torgle. We're holding hands.
Do you think that when Star Wars came out, that the Final Fantasy devs were like, fuck! Oh, no! Oh, shit!
Yeah, we locked in Torgle 4 years ago. Jesus
Fuck.
Christ.
It's just kind of crazy to think about because the names are so similar. And this happened last year as well, actually, with God of War Ragnarok and Elden Ring. There was a quest that was basically the same thing.
And it was a jellyfish quest.
It was the two
right?
jellyfish quests. Yeah. You had to reunite a jellyfish with another jellyfish in both games.
Fuck! Ah, fuck, no! Oh, God!
Yeah. Kind of crazy that, you know, it's two very different development teams coming to, you know, very similar conclusions. But that was the category names that are the same kind of.
Wow. Wow.
Love it.
Handed out a lot of statuettes so far here at this year's Goatsies, but award shows aren't just about rewarding the past. They're also about acknowledging the past. And it's time to take a few moments to recognize those we've lost this year in video games in our In Memoriam.
In the arms of the angel, far away.
El Gigante in Resident Evil 4 Remake. Distracted by a dog, then blasted by a shotgun a bunch.
And the empty
Karlach, Gale, Shadowheart, and my Tav from Baldur's Gate 3 before I save Scummed.
Oh my god. Bowser Jr. in Super Mario Wonder, stomped to death by Elephant Mario.
My Xbox Game Pass subscription. There was a layer of dust on my Xbox and I realized I'm still paying for that.
Wife in Dredge. Killed by dead wife video game premise.
Final Fantasy, the first soldier. That doesn't seem like it was this year, but it was.
Wow. An entire town of tieflings in Baldur's Gate 3. Killed by Heather's character in a remorseless genocidal rampage.
E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It just didn't happen this year, and everybody was kind of like, I guess it's dead.
Kind of unceremonial.
Yeah.
Divorced Ken in Street Fighter VI. Self-inflicted Shoryuken. Wow. Really, really, really sad there, but you know.
Yeah.
I think it's important that those were acknowledged.
Wow. You know, we're almost at the end of our show. And I think this next category is a really exciting one because it's the most look forward to games of the future. The nominees include Star Wars Outlaws, Final Fantasy Rebirth, Grand Theft Auto 6. But the winner from Get Played is Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Wow.
Probably the game
it.
We are all going to play more than any of those other three.
Wow.
Yeah, Heather will probably play Final Fantasy Rebirth, but let's be honest. Like a Dragon, the Yakuza games got their fucking hooks into us. We had a great time playing them, and there's a new one coming out, so I'm pretty sure we're all looking forward to a little bit more time with Kiryu.
Here's the thing about Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is it's coming out in January, so we don't have a lot of time to get to it. I really do want to play it, but then also there were two, you know, Like a Dragon side story spinoff games that came out this year that I still haven't gotten to. So it's kind of a daunting franchise to reengage in, but I do think I'll just hop in with both feet and play some Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Why wouldn't you?
Because there's too much fucking shit to play. Because the conveyor belt of content never stops. But I think that's a good winner there. I actually think that is a game that we're all going to dig in on.
Yeah, I do. I think it. I think it's real.
I mean, I like the idea of infinite wealth.
You had me at infinite wealth. Yeah. I'm listening. Yeah. I could use some of that.
Wow, that's a huge win in that category. Do we have any other categories before we get to our game of the year?
I was not going to read this one, but I'll read it.
Okay.
Favorite stupid thing I bought this year. The nominees are a PlayStation Vita to hack. A 2DS to hack. And finally, the PlayStation Portal. And the winner, guys, the winner's the 2DS, the flat 2DS.
Yeah, that's
a nice
that's
piece
a pretty,
of hardware.
But yeah, it's crazy that you bought one of those.
It's so funny.
It is a little wild.
I love looking at it, and I love holding it, and it's got some great games on it, and I highly recommend getting a 2DS.
Do you find yourself here in the end of 2023 using the Portal that much?
Yeah, I've been using the Portal every single night since I got it, actually. I played Alan Wake almost exclusively on it, and I started a new game on it pretty recently as well that I haven't mentioned yet.
I sometimes think about gaming as a hobby and just how expensive it is. And I'm just like, I kind of wish I was like into something else because there's just so much money that you can fucking spend on shit. And sometimes it's like a game you don't get around to playing or like, you know, a peripheral or a system that you actually don't end up getting your money's worth out of. But then you look at a different hobby, like, you know, like watches, like people who are really into watches, and it's like, well, you can spend thousands of dollars on an individual watch. Like, there are watches that cost people six figures. And if you're like a watch person, you're just like, that's a hobby that could bankrupt you. So I'm so glad I'm into gaming over something like that.
Even books is an expensive hobby.
Sure, yeah.
Like if you're an avid reader, right? So like if you're an avid gamer, you get a game for $69, $59, somewhere like that. And if it's a game that is a robust game, it's probably a 60-hour game, right?
Mm-hmm.
60 hours is going to take you 2 or 3 weeks if you have like a career or anything going on in your life. By comparison, you buy a book and a book's like $20. And if you're an avid reader, you're probably reading that every night, just like you're playing a video game every night. You're through that book in a week. So your average price point is almost identical, if not a little bit more expensive, if you're into books as a hobby. Like, gaming per hourage, like, especially if you think of a game like Fortnite that is free to play.
Sure.
Which is fucking crazy.
You're, like, making money playing that.
It's crazy that Fortnite is free to play. Then, like, I don't know. You can go to the library and essentially Fortnite your way through books because the library is free. Like, there are ways to game and there are ways to read without spending money. But generally speaking, skateboard decks are expensive. If you're a car person, cars are certainly expensive. Like, there's
guns
so many...
pretty cheap, unfortunately.
I agree with you, Nick. I am grateful to be in a privileged place where I can play video games. That is an awesome, lucky spawn point for me in this simulation we call reality.
Any other categories?
I have one. Best boyfriend or girlfriend in a video game.
Hmm.
The nominees are Asterion from Baldur's Gate 3, Chun-Li from Street Fighter 6, Zelda from Tears of the Kingdom, P from Lies of P. And the winner for best boyfriend or girlfriend in a video game is C4-621 from Armored Core. Accepting the award is C4-621 from Armored Core.
Wow.
Can you really romance a mech or a mech pilot in that game?
Are you
now
are you
Nick's interested?
I love romance options.
I don't know if that category was actually romanceable options or if they were just characters or machines that one could fall in love with.
Oh, I got it. Now I understand. All right, shall we get to Game of the Year? All right, it's time to give out our Game of the Year award. I think everyone should get to throw in some nominees here. I'm going to toss out my five favorites, but I want anyone else to fill in anything that they played that they feel like should be acknowledged in this category. And I also want to acknowledge two big games that came out that I have not yet got around to playing, but from hearing people with similar tastes and their a fondness for these games, I bet they are games that I would have loved. Chance of Sinnar is one of them, and the other one is Cocoon. Those are both very, very Weiger-appealing puzzle games that I think I probably will really like when I get around to playing them over the break. But my nominees are Baldur's Gate 3, Dave the Diver, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Sea of Stars, and Super Mario Wonder.
Those are excellent, excellent nominees. My nominees include, of course, Fortnite, Baldur's Gate 3, Super Mario Wonder, which has already been nominated. Those are my nominees.
And my nominees, this is tough because I'm going off of games that I finished. And I finished as of this recording, 14 games this year, low numbers for me. But games that released this year that I finished: Resident Evil 4, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Jedi Survivor, Spider-Man 2, and Cyberpunk 2077 The Phantom Liberty.
I thought about throwing Cyberpunk in there. I did really like that, but if I was going to get it down to five, I think that's my my last cut.
My honorable mention there is Metroid Prime Remastered. So another remaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good year for remasters.
Yeah.
I think, look, we're all at different stages of this game. We've all played it very differently. I think it's, and as much as I personally would want to be a little shit and say Dave the Diver is the game of the year, I do think that it is in the same way that last year was Elden Ring's year. I think it's Baldur's Gate 3's year.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, that's the game that represents like, hey, this is an extremely ambitious game that made an impact on the industry that everyone is going to be taking inspiration from. And that also just like, you know, does things, has a AAA level of presentation and polish. It's a, you know, a little buggy, but still like just in terms of how much content it has and how well it's presented. And then, and also like you just is doing things different. Like it doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like a fucking Starfield. It feels like something that is a new approach to this formula.
I have to agree, and I also have to agree because Baldur's Gate 3 inspired more than one person I know to get a PlayStation 5.
Wow.
Like, it's been a long time since there is a game that you could argue was a full-blown system seller, and this was a system seller. This was a game that, this game got Mary to buy a PlayStation 5.
Wow.
She played Baldur's Gate 3. Like, wow. Multiple times. She created multiple characters, and this isn't a game that, like, I would say is in Mary's wheelhouse. You know, like, she's not, like, on the edge of her seat waiting for a huge, robust RPG in order to play a video game. So, yeah, I can't imagine a more honest game to choose for game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't finished it. I know that, yeah, we're all in different spots in it. It is by and large the game of the year.
That's what I kind of think. Yes. I'm sorry, no. Finish your thoughts.
No, it's the game that, like, if you ask people, like, you could poll so many people and be like, what's a game you've heard of this year? And people would probably be like, top of mind, Baldur's Gate 3. Like, it's just like a game that, like, everybody knows about, and like it took over the conversation. It took over the conversation away from Tears of the Kingdom, which in any other year would have been the game of the year, maybe game of the decade. And then Baldur's Gate 3 comes out fucking swinging.
Well, and I think a big part of that, and obviously, you know, Larian's made other games and they have their formula, but this is like presented in a very different way than, like, you know, Divinity Original Sin 2. It's like, has, again, that level of polish, all of the different, like, that every line is voiced, that every cinematic is presented, like, you know, we're not seeing things from isometric just with dialogue. We have it's blocked out and shot like cutscenes, and just that level of detail that goes into this game. And also just like a big part of what people loved about Tears of the Kingdom is that all the ways you can fuck around, but man, you can really fuck around in Baldur's Gate 3.
You can fuck around and you can find out as well.
Oh, yeah.
You can get into some really big trouble into Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh man, I'm probably going to start all over again because I really did not want to kill as many people. I don't even know. I don't know if the game is like finishable in a form that makes sense anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Because like I've killed so many, I've killed people that were supposed to be in your party.
Right.
I think.
Yeah. No, me too.
And because they saw me and on site were like, what have you done? And then executed. Like, people have left my party. They're like, I can't do this. And it's all because I just wanted to look inside of boxes and doors. That shouldn't be. I mean, I guess that's how Dungeons and Dragons works, is that it's just like this domino effect from like a simple decision. And then suddenly you're like, oh my God, I'm killing children. And I just wanted to see what was inside of a treasure chest. But Yeah, it's an incredible game.
On that note, I think that that's a big part of it is just like all the consequences of various actions that you can't possibly anticipate. But then also just like that's also a way in which the game can be very funny in a way that, you know, in a very distinct way. I watched this YouTube video. It was just like a critical stealth failure. It was someone rolling a one on a stealth check. And the animation that played was the player character was like sneaking up behind somebody to kill them, and then they just fell over, just like tripped, like their armor just like fucking rattled on like the floor, and everyone just was like, "What the fuck?" It's like it was just such a funny moment that I think, you know, this sort of the way this game is constructed and the systems that all interwork allows for things like that. So yeah, all right, BG3, the Get Played Game of the Year. How about that? I'm sure one of many accolades it will be receiving.
And they're going to put it on the box.
They'll put it on the box, yeah.
With like for the collector's edition.
When they're like over 100 Game of the Year awards, that will be one of them.
Yeah, it's going to be on it.
Accepting the award on behalf of Baldur's Gate 3 is Kevin Costner.
The Resident Evil merchant.
Oh my God, it's a Resident Evil merchant.
Well, we can fucking get him off the stage. Yeah, I'm talking to you,
fucking
Costner.
Tackled Kevin Costner.
Get the fuck off of my show.
Jesus Christ.
They hired me back. I'm going to come.
Oh my God. Stop. You're killing him.
He's so big, too.
You. Get the fuck away from me. Get off me. I'll escort you out.
Wow, that was rough. We're going to have to add one more video game star to the montage. Kevin Costner. In the arms of the angel.
Rest in power, the Mariner from Waterworld for Super Nintendo.
Do you think he hates... Do you think that... I feel like... Because Waterworld is not far away from when he's mentioned. Like obviously, probably it's Yellowstone now, the thing he gets the most. But for a time, people were like, because he was good. He was in a lot of great things, a lot of great movies. But then Waterworld really stunk up his reputation.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he feels about it. I haven't read an interview about it.
And we all agree it's a good idea, is the thing.
I'm a Waterworld apologist. I have the director's cut extended edition on Blu-ray. I, of course, have the Virtual Boy game and the Super NES game. I think Waterworld is a great IP. It was not incredibly well executed, but I think that the movie's score is the biggest problem with the film. And there's a lot of problems with the film, but I think that if the music had been better, that it would not seem as goofy as it did. Because, like, if you get, like, a Pirates of the Caribbean style score underneath Waterworld, then it's a blast.
Yeah, I really like the world. I really like the open ocean and the idea of like a flooded Earth and what that would be like. Like all that those details are great. I think a lot of like some of the stuff in the world building does come across a little goofy, like bad guys being called smokers,
yeah,
or like the Deacon. Some of that stuff is just a little bit silly. But I think Waterworld's ultimate legacy is the stunt show.
And the stunt show.
Everyone loves the fucking stunt show. And it's like the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company of just like there are people now who go see the Waterworld stunt show, tourists or younger people who have no idea that it's connected to a movie.
Right.
I wonder because he's, you know, I know that he just passed away on our stage.
Yeah.
Beaten to death by the Resident Evil merchant who wanted to accept an award. Yeah.
It's like a heightened slap. What just happened? But
and this is because the slap happened. We allowed this to happen.
It was a slippery slope until the Resident Evil merchant is going to murder Kevin Costner at the Goatsies.
Yeah. I love Westerns, and I can't believe that Kevin Costner has a two-part Western coming out in 2024. That's fucking crazy.
It's nuts.
It's going to be like 6 hours worth of Western. Like,
why not, I say.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, a great year in gaming. A great year in gaming, a great edition of the Goatsies, and you know, we thought we'd want to hear some of your thoughts on this past year in video gaming. It's your review crew, Games of This Year edition, the Ryu crew.
Hadouken!
All right, so Would you be surprised to learn so many people wrote Baldur's Gate 3?
I love it.
Lots of people wrote Baldur's Gate 3. You know, Snoofman wrote Baldur's Gate 3. Chad Money Printer wrote Baldur's Gate 3. Arctor wrote Baldur's Gate 3. Lots of Baldur's Gate 3 in the chat. We love to see it. Jet writes, game of the year, as it is every year, is Disco Elysium. I love that.
I bought that coat, that Disco Elysium coat.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the way my fall has turned out, I have not yet been able to wear it out of the house.
Oh, sure.
But oh, man.
Fucking, I love that coat and I love that game. And God damn, I can't wait to like walk around in that Disco Elysium coat.
That's going
to
be so sick.
People love the Larian style combat. I do like tactical combat. You really do get super in the weeds, I feel like, with each turn in this game, and the difficulty level, even on Explorer, whatever the easiest one that I'm playing on, as you've experienced, Matt, does scale up. Baldur's Gate 3 has some things that it's taken, I think, from Disco Elysium, you know, like certainly the dice rolls being visible, which I love. I think that's fucking awesome. And I love those skill checks just being like presented in front of the player. I there are times when I'm like, I kind of wish that I could play this game just without combat. I kind of wish mm-hmm. I could play this Disco Elysium style where I'm just kind of going through and role playing it and just, you know, have to spend a little bit less time bashing my head against a wall trying to figure out how to get through this goblin camp or whatever.
Yeah. This next one's from Hired Goons, and Hired Goons writes, a lot of big ones I haven't played, but it's between the Resident Evil 4 remake and the remake of Super Mario RPG. I might just be a nostalgic basic bitch.
But I do like these new glossy remakes that really honor the original game.
Yeah.
Like playing Resident Evil 4 remake feels like what playing Resident Evil 4 felt like in 2005 or whenever it originally released. And I haven't played the Super Mario RPG remake, but my understanding is that it very much honors the gameplay of the original and just has like a glossy coat of paint on it. I like that.
DVA with the handgun writes, Alan Wake 2 all day every day. That game blew my mind in every way. Or Tears of the Kingdom, because I've never felt more free in a game than when I played that. Also, it's amazing on a technical level, and the story is beautiful.
That's the thing, and I think because it's a direct sequel, Tears of the Kingdom kind of getting buried in the conversation, but it's a staggering achievement.
Yeah.
You're playing this game, it's like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing what they've done.
It's pretty crazy to think about, because like, yeah, I said this earlier, but like in any other year, it would have been an absolute landslide.
Yeah.
That's an interesting exercise to go back through previous years. What years would it have been the clear game of the year?
Yeah. Elden Ring last year, right? Like that would have been tough.
It's like the 2017, I think, Cleveland Cavaliers, who like had, you know, one of the best offenses in NBA history and but they were just up against the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, and they just didn't have a chance. But in a lot of other years, they would have just won the championship.
I love this mental exercise. I love the idea of looking at the game, the best games of a year, and then looking at the game. Like, you could do it as like almost an infinite tier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put all the games against each other and like find out what the best game of all time actually is. And then like kind of work backwards. So like if you figured out who the best game was of all time, then you would also have your final four so that you could this is nothing I want to do with my life or my time, but somebody could do it.
Oh, hey, we just hit an episode format.
No fucking way. We'll die.
No, we'll do it. This next one's from Doomspec. Doomspec writes, Phantom Liberty and Cyberpunk 2.0 really is like a new game compared to release Cyberpunk. I also say it's game of the year material.
Love Phantom Liberty. We're big, huge Phantom Liberty fans here.
And the changes that they made to the base game are really fantastic as well.
It is still pretty buggy.
Yes.
But there is some stuff in the base game that still feels a little bit clunky, but I think it is a really impressive overhaul, and I think Phantom Liberty as a self-contained experience is really awesome. One of my favorite experiences of the year.
This next one is from Lieb, and this one straight to my heart right here. While it was definitely flawed, I'm sticking with Final Fantasy 16.
Wow.
The boss fights were spectacles on a level I've never seen before and made lasting impression on me. Sid was also the British father I've always wanted. Sid was good in the game.
I don't know where Sid rank among the Final Fantasy Sids for me, but I don't think he'd... I guess, whatever. I didn't finish the game. I'm not going to go down this road too much. I just feel like there are other Sids I like more.
I got to be honest. I confused... In thinking back about Final Fantasy 16, I thought Sid was the engineer girl who works in the basement. And then I was like, no, you're confusing her with the mechanic from Final Fantasy 15. That's Sid. Totally forgot that Sid, that you are Sid for a portion of the game.
You are Sid, yeah, for a little bit.
So fucking, I don't know, man. Woof.
John, yes, it's starting to sound like Torgel over there. John B. in Space writes, Spider-Man 2 for sure. Great gameplay, amazing story. Not too bloated open world. Give me more. Yeah, that's the thing. You're playing in three of the five boroughs of New York, of course, and it doesn't feel like there's too much going on. There's just enough. It's a great game.
Well, that's a big part, though, of like what also makes Phantom Liberty work, just to go back to that, is that it's just it's one neighborhood of Night City.
Yeah.
And so they're able to make that feel really dense and lived in.
I didn't. Because of when my diagnosis came, I didn't get to play Phantom Liberty, and I'm looking forward to dropping in at some point in the future.
I think you'd like it. Just don't expect you to be able to romance those sexy French twins, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
I just did not include that in the game.
God damn it.
For some reason.
Stop. No, I don't want to hear it. No.
Full on
you should also
stop.
Check out Dave the Diver. It's a great game.
and finally, from It's Patrick, shouts to Hi-Fi Rush. It was gorgeous, fun to play, a rhythm game with action. Come on.
I love that. I love pointing that one out. That one came out on the front end of the year. Matt, I think you're the one who spent some time with Hi-Fi Rush, but that was a game that everyone was like super hype on in like February or March or whatever. And then, yeah, it just kind of falls off of the radar.
A surprise drop.
Too many
yeah.
fucking games.
Too many too fucking many games. Games. Too many games.
Too many games. But guys, thanks so much for writing in with your reviews and your input for Game of the Year. And that's going to conclude this week's Get Played, and the Goatsies are now a thing in the past, as they are every year, of course.
Until next year.
That's right.
When we'll talk about the games that are coming out all throughout 2024. So that'll wrap up Get Played for the year. We are going to be taking a couple of weeks off for the holidays. You'll still get episodes in the feed on Monday. One will be an unlocked episode from our archives. One will be an unlocked Get Animated episode. We'll still be releasing new Get Animated over at patreon.com/getplayed. So check that out if you're looking for content. But yeah, we're going to be dark for the next couple weeks, and then we'll be back in early 2024. Oh, and also shout out to Rochelle Chen, our producer who's joined us over at HeadGum. Yard__Sard on social. You want to follow Rochelle?
Yeah. And guys, what a year it's been. I'm looking forward to getting back in the studio in 2024 and talking about games with you guys. And I think it's safe to say that the year 2023 got played.
That's fucking right.
That was a HeadGum podcast.